We are in the third lesson, the third week of our six-week series, as Adam mentioned, living a godly life in an ungodly world. And as Christians, we all look forward to heaven because we know when we get to heaven, we'll have no more grief, no more troubles. But until that time, we have to live in this world that is full of troubles, full of grief, and a world that doesn't encourage us at all to walk with God, a world that often discourages or opposes us when we walk with God. And so this series of lessons from 2 Chronicles is about the life of King Asa. He was the third king of Judah after the nation of Israel divided into the northern and southern kingdoms. The northern kingdom was known as Israel. The southern kingdom was known as Judah. The northern kingdom had 10 tribes. The southern kingdom had two, Judah and Benjamin. And so he was the third king of that kingdom. And his life, for the most part, not entirely, we'll get to that in the last lesson, but his life was a good example of how to live godly when the world is ungodly around you. And so we've had two lessons so far. The first one is pursue godliness. And the point of that lesson is that we ought to make God the focus of our life. When King Asa took over from his dad, he led the people back to God. In fact, he destroyed all the places where they were worshiping idols. He tore them down, the groves and the high places. And he fortified the cities, Jerusalem and the cities around it. He built up the army. And because he was pursuing God, because he was looking for God, because he was leading the people to come back to God, God blessed him with 10 years of peace to start off his rule. And then last week we had a lesson, depend on God. Point of the lesson, God is greater than any challenge we face. And last week we talked about how Zerah and the Ethiopians, with a 1 million man army and 300 chariots, that's almost mentioned as an aside, 1 million men and, oh, by the way, 300 chariots, attacked Judah and King Asa. You remember King Asa only had 580,000 men in his army, so they were outnumbered about 2 to 1. But Asa, he prayed. Asa prayed and said, God, you can help the weakest just as well as you can help the strong. Please help us. And God heard Asa's prayer and helped. And God and Asa and the Judean army won a great victory over that force that outnumbered them. And then today, our lesson is act with courage. Persistent problems call for courage. You know, we all savor the moment when we come out on top. When we are, you know, we're trying to beat something. Maybe it's a bad habit. Maybe it's a circumstance in our life. But we always rejoice when God gives us a victory in situations that we're in where we're trying to gain a victory. But if we're not careful, sometimes victory and success can be very short-lived because we celebrate the victory and we should, but oftentimes we say, okay, hey, we won this great battle. Now I can relax. Now I can let my guard down. The problem is Satan never relaxes. Satan is always on the attack, and he often finds that our greatest vulnerability as Christians is when we have won a victory, because we're not as alert, we're not as aware, we're not as vigilant, as the Bible says, as we are when we're going through the battle. I mean, we've won. And so, and again, we ought to celebrate. And I think Asa and his army celebrated. I think they were on their way back to Jerusalem to celebrate. But they still faced a danger. And even though they had celebration on their mind, God had something else on his mind. And he had prepared a messenger, a prophet, to meet this king and his army, even before they got back to Jerusalem, to give them a message of warning from God. And so that message is in 2 Chronicles chapter 15. We're just going to look at the first 9 verses of that chapter today. There's only 2 parts to the lesson. The first one is remain courageous in following God. Always have courage when we follow God. And then number two, our courage in following God can inspire and encourage other people to do the same. So we start in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, the first 7 verses. Here's what the Bible says. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in. But great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Again, when people win victories, they celebrate. They pass out awards. They have parties. They have parades. Judah might have had that in mind as their army made its way back to Jerusalem. And again, their victory over this million-man army, it needed to be celebrated. They had cause to celebrate. But before they got back, before they started the celebration, God had, as I mentioned before, God had a message for King Asa and the people of Judah. While they were fighting this battle, God was preparing the heart of his messenger, this man named Azariah. And the Bible says there in verse 1, and the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. Now, that word spirit is a Hebrew word ruach, R-U-A-C. So the Spirit of God actually means the breath of God, the breath of God, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit made himself known in the Old Testament different than he did in the New Testament. In the New Testament, when we get saved, Holy Spirit comes and indwells us. He indwells every person. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit residing in them. But then in the Old Testament, it was a little bit different. In the Old Testament, we meet the Holy Spirit in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, where the Bible says the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And so the Holy Spirit was there with God the Father and with God the Son at creation. Okay, and so when God said, let's create man in our own image, most people think that God was talking about he made God a three-part man, just like God was Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Man is a body, a soul, and a spirit. But he was there. The Holy Spirit was there at creation. He anointed judges and kings, the Holy Spirit did, to serve God in those capacities. And he inspired certain men, selected men, to speak God's message to others. And so that's what happened when the Bible says, and the Spirit of God came upon Azariah. The Holy Spirit came upon him because God had a message that he wanted this man to deliver. Now, only time in the Bible that Azariah, the son of Oded, is mentioned. Other than his father's name, we don't know anything about him. What distinguishes him is not what he did. We don't know that. It's not who his long-term heritage was. We don't know that. We know who his dad was, but we don't know anybody else in his lineage. It wasn't, again, what he did or how popular he was, because, again, this is the only time that he's mentioned in the Word of God. But what set him apart was that the Spirit of God had come upon him. God gave him the ability to speak his message. God chose him as his prophet for this particular moment. Now, I would remind you, having said that, that God chooses who he will. And he sometimes chooses the unknown to make known his word. And so we may think, well, God would never choose me for anything. Don't think that. In fact, if you think that, you're a candidate for God to choose. Because he doesn't choose the proud, he chooses those that are humble. And so God can use anybody that he wants to use. Now, there's over 24 Azariahs in the Bible. Here's what his name means. The name Azariah means Yahweh has helped. Yahweh has helped. And so it's very ironic that God would choose a man named Azariah, whose name means God has helped, to go out and to deliver a message to Asa, who had just prayed for God's help and saw God's help as he led his army to defeat this army of a million men. And I think each time that Asa looked at Azariah, as Azariah was delivering this message, he thought about his name. God has helped. And he said to himself, God has sure helped me. God has sure helped my army. If it wasn't for God, there was no way we would have won this victory. We were outnumbered 2-1. God has helped us. All right, and so his message, Azariah's message, was so important that he couldn't wait in Jerusalem for Asa to get there. So the Bible says he went out to meet him. Now, in all probability, God told him to do that. God told him to go out and meet the king. But in all probability, he had a more direct audience with the king and his men than if he would have waited for them to get back to Jerusalem. When they got back to Jerusalem, yeah, they were going to celebrate. The people, they were going to welcome them back. They were probably going to have a parade or something like that. But when he went out to meet him, he had the individual attention of the king and the attention of all the army that was with him. And by the way, I think he delivered this message to all the army. You say, preacher, well, how did one man speak so that 580,000 people could hear? The Holy Spirit can do anything. He didn't need a microphone. He didn't need a sound system. He spoke, and these men heard. And he started out with that phrase, hear ye me. Listen to me. Let me have your attention. This message that I have is not only for the king, it's for all of you, king and soldiers alike. And the message that he gave them followed the pattern that many Old Testament prophets used when they were delivering God's message. First of all, he reminded Judah that God was with them as long as they were loyal to him, as long as they served him. Second, he used an illustration from Israel's past to point out that truth. And then he ended with an order, an exhortation, and a promise. Okay, and we'll look at this as we go along. The first thing he said, the Lord is with you while ye be with him. You're going to have the Lord's presence with you. And with his presence comes blessing. But you're only going to have that as long as you stay with God. As long as you are loyal to him. As long as you worship him. Now, it's not to suggest that Judah, or it's not to suggest that any of us can earn or put ourselves in a place where we deserve God's presence. It's simply saying that you can't be blessed by God if you're out of fellowship with him. It doesn't work that way. I preached a sermon one time. God doesn't put his blessings in a slot bucket. God does not give people his blessings that are not walking with him, that are not in fellowship with him. When we remove ourselves from the fellowship of God, what we're saying is, God, I choose not to be with you anymore. I choose not to worship you anymore. I don't need you anymore. And when we say that to God, God says, okay, I can't bless you. You've taken yourself out of the channel of my blessing. I just can't bless you anymore. Azariah goes on, if ye seek him, he will be found of you. So if you search for him, if you inquire after him, you will find him. Now, it's not that God is hiding. God's waiting for us to start looking for him, to start searching for him, and then he lets us find him. Let me tell you this morning, if God doesn't want us to find him, we'll never find him. Huh? We'll never find them. But when we turn toward God, and I've told people over and over again, all you have to do is turn around, take one step toward God. I mean, he's like the father of the prodigal son. He sees us a great way off. And when he sees us turn toward him, he comes to us. He lets us find him. And so that's what the message that Azariah was delivering to Asa and this army. He said, if you look for God, if you seek him, he will be found of you. And again, notice, he made it personal. If you seek for God, you will find him. We can't do that for somebody else. We can't seek God for another person. We cannot find God for another person. I wish God had made it different. I wish we could make that decision for some people. And there are some people in our lives that we would make that decision for. If you're here and you have children that have not turned to God, there's not one parent that wouldn't raise their hand and say, hey, if I could, I'd make that decision for my children. If we have grandchildren that haven't turned to God, not one grandparent here that wouldn't raise their hand and say, hey, if I could, I'd make that decision for my grandkid to turn them to God. But we can't make that decision for them. We can pray for them. We can encourage them. We can preach at them. We can pick at them. I'm here today and saved today because that's what my grandma did to me. She kept picking and she kept preaching and she kept pointing that crooked bony finger in my face, told me I was going to go to hell unless I got saved. And we can do that to our kids and we can do that to our grandchildren, but we cannot make that decision for them. And so Azariah said, if you seek God, he will be found of you. But he says the opposite is also true. If ye forsake him, he will forsake you. That word forsake means abandon, okay? When a person forsakes God, he's saying, God, I don't want you. I don't need you. Now, here was Asa and an army coming back from a victory they had just won with God's help. They all knew they had no chance apart from God. And you might say, well, how appropriate is this message? If anybody knew that they needed God and that his blessings would come as they seek God, it would be this king and this army, because they just saw God operate in a mighty fashion in giving them this victory in this battle where they were outnumbered 2-1. But what Azariah was asking Asa and his army to do was, hey, yeah, you've won this great victory, and you sought after God, and you found him, and he helped you. But where are you today? The victory was yesterday. Where are you today in your relationship with the Lord? And what he was saying is, you had a good relationship yesterday. You found the Lord yesterday. He helped you yesterday. He helped you in a mighty way yesterday. Go deeper with him today. Get closer with him today. You want more of what you experienced in the victory that you just had in this battle with the Ethiopians? Then you get closer to God. You stay close to God. Don't forsake God. And to illustrate what he was trying to say to him, he went back in Israel's history, probably to the time of the judges. Okay? And he said, For a long time, many years, the nation of Israel, and that was before it was split, acted if they were without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. Now, that was a statement of truth, but it was an exaggerated statement of truth, because God was always present, even in the time of the judges. When God was always there, but the people turned away from God. They acted like God didn't exist. God has always had faithful men to deliver his message. In the time of the judges, there were priests and there were prophets that would stand and tell. And when the people turned away from God, when they turned to Baal, there was priests and prophets that would urge them to come back. They were always there, but the people didn't listen. They closed their ears to it. And the law was always there. I mean, you know, it was given to, I mean, it was there, and God wrote it down on Mount Sinai. And the law didn't disappear. It was always there. But God's people didn't listen to it. They didn't heed it. They didn't obey it. Judges chapter 3 verse 7 says it like this. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord their God and served Balaam and the groves. And as a result, we see in the book of Judges over and over again, when the people turned away from God, God withheld his blessing. He withheld his blessing. Oppressors would come and they would oppress God's people. They troubled them. Okay, the Bible says. Finally, this is what Azariah says. Finally, they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel. That word trouble there means distressed or a tight spot, getting in a tight spot. That word turn is the Hebrew word shub, S-H-U-B. It means repentance. It means to turn back. And so here was the picture that Azariah was painting from Israel's past. God's people wandered off the path of righteousness. They wandered away from God. God allowed them to get into a tight spot. He distressed them. The only way out of that tight spot was to turn around and go back to where they were before. And when they turned around and they went back to the God of Israel, when they sought him, he was found of them. And again, it happened 7 or 8 or 9 times in the book of Judges. God's people turned away from him. He withdrew his blessing. He allowed an oppressor to come in that oppressed his people. They cried out to God. God raised up a deliverer. They came back to God, enjoyed his blessings for a while, and then the cycle started over. And we might look back at that and say, how stupid, how dumb could those people be? But before we point a finger at them, we better look at our own life, because we've probably gone through those cycles as well in our own life. Judges says it like this: when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer. But during those times, in verse 5, when it talks about those times, it was talking about the times that Israel was in distress. It was talking about those times that Israel was in that tight spot. It says, there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in. What Azariah was reminding Asa and the army is during those times that God's people turned away from him, there was no peace to anybody. I mean, even the normal everyday activities that people did, they couldn't do them because there was always danger. There was always the threat of them being killed or being taken captive or being robbed and plundered. It says great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. That word vexations mean trouble or panic or tumult. I mean, remember Gideon. He was threshing wheat. Something that was common that you did every time at harvest time. But where was he doing it? He was in a wine press. He was hiding. He was hiding from the Midianites. He knew the Midianites, if they found him, would probably kill him and take his wheat. And that's what Azariah was trying to remind Asa. Look at your past. Look at the history of Israel. Every time God's people turned away from him, God removed his blessing, and the people were vexed. The people were oppressed. God just removed his hand of protection, and these oppressors came in. Nations was destroyed of nations, and city of cities. That's what happened. They destroyed each other. The enemies came in. They destroyed this city. They plundered this city. They attacked another city. Israel was easy prey. Those times when they turned away from God, they were easy prey for the nations around them to come in and oppress them. Why? God did vex them with all adversity. He troubled them, and that trouble was his judgment on them. Judgment on them because they turned away from him. Judgment on them because they didn't listen to his word. Judgment on them because they did not live as he expected them to live. Look, he had made a covenant with this people. He was going to be their God. They were supposed to be his people. There was a way that he expected them to live. But when they forsook God, when they didn't listen to his prophets, when they forsook his word, he said, okay, I'm going to punish you. And that will happen, listen, that will happen to any nation, and that will happen to any person that turns away from God. I mean, God hasn't changed. In a book, one of the things that makes him God is that he doesn't change. It says in the book of Malachi, I am the Lord, I change not. It says in the book of Hebrews about Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. The way God operated in the past is the way he operates today. He does not change. So don't think for a minute, as God's child, you can get by with not living for him. He'll in some way remove his blessing from you. He will in some way judge you, punish you. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, the Bible says. He will try to get you back to where you should be. And again, what Azariah was telling Asa, the way out of that, or better yet, the way to not go into it at all, is to seek him and he will be found of you. That was the answer. If we get into trouble, that's the only way to get out of it, to go back to where we were with God. But how much better it would be to avoid it in the first place, to not get into it in the first place. And so if Asa and his men wanted to know more of the victories of God, they needed to be faithful to him. They needed to live like his people should live. All right. Now, the next verse. Verse 7. I think Azariah was now focusing on Asa. The message that he had just delivered was for Asa and all the army. But I think this message in verse 7 was just for Asa. Be ye strong. Take courage. Again, as Adam mentioned, that was an admonition that God gave to many leaders of Israel. He gave it to Joshua, as Adam read, when Joshua was about to lead the people into the promised land. And so God was saying to Asa, hey, you're the king. You're the leader. I need you to be the example. I need you to be the example of faithfulness to me. God's people in the Old Testament, God's people were influenced by a strong and faithful leader. They needed somebody that followed God completely, that they could look to and follow him. He said, let not your hands be weak. In other words, it pictures somebody carrying a load and they get tired and they drop their load. And what God was saying is, don't drop your load. Don't give up. Don't get overconfident. Now again, Asa, it would have been very easy for him to get overconfident. He just led the army into this battle where they defeated this million-man force. But Azariah was saying, look, don't get lulled to sleep by your success. Don't get lulled to sleep by the victories that you've won. You need to continue to be faithful. You need to continue the things that you've been doing. And then he says, for your work will be rewarded. Asa, what you do will affect the future. The payment that you get for your work will be in kind. Seeking the Lord will result in you finding him. And when you find him, when you seek him, you'll find him. It will come the blessing of his presence. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. and the consequences of being forsaken by God are not desirable. Oftentimes, as we see for the nation of Israel, they were devastating. Now, you remember the first lesson we had, and I mentioned it a little bit this morning. Asa had already started, when he came into the, when he took over for his father, he already made change. He started making changes. He tore down the idols. He tore down the high places. He tore down the places that people had worshiped the false god. During the 10 years of peace that God gave him, he fortified the cities, Jerusalem and the city around him. He built up the army. I mean, if he hadn't had that 10 years of peace, he wouldn't have had the army of 580,000 men that he had when he went into this battle. And so the things that Asa had done were effective. They were blessed by God, but they weren't done yet. Okay? Now, either he didn't get them all done when he first started, or he got them done, but the evil came back. Whenever I study a lesson like this, I always think about pulling weeds. Okay? Now, some people like to use poison on their weeds. I never like to use chemicals. I'm glad I don't have a house anymore where I got to pull weeds, I'll tell you that. But I would get out there and pull weeds. But you know what I found out about weeds? They always come back. I mean, I put that plastic stuff down, you know, that's supposed to keep the weeds from coming up through your rocks. I had sturdy weeds because they came up through that plastic. And I would have to get out there and pull the weeds again. And whenever we have a lesson like this, I always think about pulling weeds. You can get the weeds out of the flower bed, and you can get the weeds out of the rock beds, but they're always going to come back. You can get rid of the evil. You can get rid of the evil, but it's always going to come back. That's why the Bible says that we need to be vigilant. That's why the Bible says that we always need to be on guard. We may have dealt Satan a blow. I mean, we may have kicked him in the teeth and we may have gotten him out of our life for a while. But rest assured, he is not killed. I mean, he is still in this world. He's still the prince of the power of the air. And he still is going to attack. Now, greater is in us than he is in the world. I mean, Satan can't do anything to us. He can't overcome us because he can't overcome the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. But he's going to come back, and he's going to tempt us, and he's going to attack us. And just like you just can't pull weeds one time and expect them to be gone forever, you can't defeat Satan one time and expect him to be gone forever. And so when Azariah was telling Asa, be strong, don't let your hands get weak, what he was saying is, you need to continue the job that you started. It's not done yet. There's more high places that need to be tore down. There's more altars that need to be tore down. You just need to increase your efforts to get done what you started to do. All right, now, let's look at the last two verses, verses 8 and 9 of 2 Chronicles chapter 15. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded, now it's really the Oded, Azariah, the son of Oded, the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. Now again, Asa could have very easily said, I don't need to hear this message. I mean, look at what I've done. Look at what my army has done. I mean, remember, they brought back a lot of spoil. They had herds of goats and sheep and camels. And he could probably hear the animals making noise as Azariah was delivering this message. I mean, they had won a great victory. But, Bible says, Asa heard these words. That word heard means to hear with understanding and a willingness to do what was said. And so he took what Azariah said to heart. He took courage. Okay? Now again, I think they had to get back to Jerusalem. They weren't there yet. I think they celebrated as they should, and I don't know how they celebrated. But then he went to work. He went back to doing what he had started doing. He put away the abominable or the detestable things, the abominable idols, out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin. Again, those were the two tribes that made up the southern kingdom. So he went to these two tribes. Any place he found a high place, he tore it down. Any place he found an altar where they were worshiping idols, he tore it down. He cut, if there were more groves, he cut them down. He again redoubled his efforts to rid the land of those places that would draw the people back to worship those false gods. And then the Bible says, and he did the same thing in the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim. Now, Ephraim was a tribe in the northern kingdom, okay? At some point, Asa had taken some of their cities. Again, we don't know if it was in the 10 years of peace, and it was still peace because it wasn't a major war, but, you know, he took a city here or a city there, or if it was after the 10 years of peace, and he attacked and took these cities from Ephraim. But he went into those cities and did the same thing. Any place that there was an altar or a grove or a high place where people worship false gods, he destroyed them. He removed them. He took them away, again, so that people wouldn't have a place where they would be tempted to fall back to worshiping idols. And again, that was one of the points of last week's lesson. When we defeat something in our life, when we defeat a bad habit, for example, in our life, we ought to make it hard to go back to it. We ought to make it almost impossible to go back to it. We ought to remove those things from our life. Burn the bridge so you can't cross it. I mean, if you're going to cross the river going backwards, you're going to have to build a new bridge. Burn the bridge so you can't go backwards. But Asa did something else. He renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. So the altar that was at the temple where they offered sacrifice, he renewed it. He made it anew. And again, there's no record that it was destroyed. Maybe it was just, you know, to refresh it, sort of regular maintenance. Maybe it was a ceremonial cleansing. The wrong kind of sacrifice was offered on it. And so he had to get the priest to cleanse it again so that it would be usable to offer God's sacrifices on it. But he renewed the altar that God wanted his people to worship at. And then the Bible says he gathered or called for all of Judah and Benjamin. So he called for an assembly. Again, they had just won this great victory. They had celebrated that victory. Asa redoubled his efforts to tear down all the high places and the altars. He renewed the altar at the temple, and then he called for all the people to come together. An opportunity for them to rededicate themselves to the Lord, to commit themselves to the things that Asa was leading them to do. In other words, tearing down the altars of the false gods. And notice that verse says that there were some strangers that joined this gathering. Those from Ephraim, Manasseh, again, another tribe of the northern kingdom, and Simeon, another tribe of the northern kingdom, who had come and taken up residence in the land of the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin. And the Bible says that there fell to him Asa out of Israel in abundance. So there was a large number of these people, and they were attracted or influenced to come when they saw that the Lord, his God, was with him. When the people in the northern kingdom saw that the Lord God was with Asa in the southern kingdom, and by the way, the northern kingdom was the more wicked of the kingdom. There was a guy named Bashan that was the ruler of the northern kingdom at this time that had turned away from God completely. And so when the people in the northern kingdom looked at what was going on in the southern kingdom, and they saw that the Lord, who was their God, by the way, as well, even though the king had turned away from him and many of the people had turned away from him, when they saw that the Lord God was with Asa, they said, hey, we want to go be a part of his kingdom. We want to go. We want to go live under his rule. And again, Asa probably had a great personality, and he probably had a lot of personal influence. But they didn't want to come and be under him because of his personal influence or his personality. They wanted to come because they saw that God was with him. That's why they came. Now, let me just make an application of this lesson to us. Our church recently has seen some great victories. Okay? We've had people join the church for the past 4 weeks. Okay? I mean, that's something that we haven't seen very often, for people to join the church 4 straight weeks. In the month of April, we had our best month ever as far as morning attendance. We averaged 270 people in the month of April. Best month we've ever had in all our history. And since then, we've had our best May, our best June. June was just a little bit better than our previous June, but it was still our best June. And we had our best July. If you haven't read the bulletin, if you're not up to date, our church voted and gave and sent $20,000 to the Florys to help them build their building in the Philippines. Philippines probably needed a church building, but we didn't help them build one. In the Philippines. And then Wednesday night, we voted to give $1,000 to our missionaries to Europe, the Farrans, to help them buy a van that they need to haul missionaries around, that they train and equip and encourage. Now, again, none of that was us. It was all God. I mean, it was all God. We were just fortunate enough, we were just lucky enough that God let us be a part of it. But without him, we could have done none of that. And we need to celebrate that. I mean, I think it's a wonderful thing. But we don't need to stop. You see, oftentimes when churches have victories like that, they get complacent. They think God's blessings is just going to continue to fall, and they don't need to be doing nothing. But that's not the way it works. God, I tell you, I could point to many, many things. But one thing I'll point to. There's a group of men that meet after church on Wednesday night that go to God in prayer. And they beg God, every single one of them. There's probably, how many did we have Wednesday night, Don? You remember? 9, 11, 11. Every one of those guys that prayed for our church. Every one of those guys that prayed for the pastor and the assistant pastor. Every one of those guys that prayed for God to keep his blessings coming on our church. God's blessings don't just come. I mean, God is good, but God's blessings don't come to a people that aren't trying to do their best and live for him. It doesn't work that way. Last week, we had 26 first-time visitors. Probably the most we've ever had, 26 first-time visitors. Now, again, there was a large group. Half of those were from a group that were on vacation. They're from North Carolina. Probably never be back again. But why do you think God led them here? You think that was just an accident? No, I don't think it was an accident. I think God was saying, hey, you seek me and you will be found of me. I'll bless you in ways that you can't imagine. Can't imagine. I mean, Andrew and Sarah are a blessing. It's not very often that you find somebody that comes to Sunday school, comes back for church on Sunday night, and then comes back for Sunday school and brings their daughter and a friend of their daughter. They're a blessing from God. That's just not a coincidence. Look, and then I see the folks that Bud invited, his friends, they're back, some of them this morning. Again, that's not because of who we are. That's because, here's what I think, that's because they see that God is with us. His Spirit fills this place every time we come. People want that. People are looking for that. The thing that will attract others. It worked for Asa. And the same thing is true today. is if a people are seeking God, he will be found of them. And other people want to be a part of that. So we can't stop. Yeah, we can celebrate on a run. Say, thank the Lord for a good July. We had wonderful things that happened in the month of July. But I got news for you. Today is August. Today is August. And it starts all over. I think God could bless us more in the month of August than he did in the month of July. I think he could. But only if we stay faithful to him. Only if we stay faithful to him. Don't go to sleep. Don't get overconfident. Celebrate, but celebrate on the run, because there's more work to do. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this lesson. Thank you for what we can learn from King Asa and his people. And I pray we would learn from them. So thank you for this time we've been able to spend in your word. I pray you'll go with us in the service that follows. Help us to uplift Christ. If there's those here that don't know him as their Savior, help them today to see their sin, realize they need a Savior, and come to him. Just bless the service. Use it to build your kingdom. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being here for Sunday school this morning.